choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game, better educated about your money, so you can live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go! Salutations, greetings, and hello! My name is Stephen Briggs. I am the owner of Briggs Financial. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 60, Tearing Walls Down to Make Money. The thing about not just making money, but creating a better future and creating a better life for ourselves, is that our mindset, how we think about ourselves, how we think about our problems, how we think about our life, how we perceive other lives, gets entirely in the way of our success. And I want to prove that, I want to give you at least some background on where I come from a little bit on this and show you, because this is going to go right to the heart of where you may be in life. So well before ever becoming a financial planner, I had the pleasure, the joy of teaching middle school students. And one of the experiences I had teaching middle school students, and I did this for 5 years. I taught longer than that, but for 5 years, I volunteer coached what's called a Math Counts team. And Math Counts is a middle school math enrichment program. It's a competition program. It's a team program. So you work with your team. You help work with them on building stronger math skills and solving critical thinking problems. And then you take your team to competition. Now, the thing about teaching middle school students is, it takes a special bird to teach them a little bit, because I think someone who has a very flexible mindset does extraordinarily well with them, and someone who has a more inflexible, regimented mindset can oftentimes find a lot of frustration and difficulty. And that's not to say a teacher with structure can't succeed. In fact, a teacher with structure is, in many cases, what these kids need. But I will say that they do some very interesting and unpredictable things. And it's, you know, they know enough to do cool stuff. Like, they're old enough and they've learned enough things where they can, you see the logic and thinking and higher order stuff starting to happen. They also don't know that there are certain things that they can't do. Like, basic stuff, sure, don't put your hand on the hot burner. But they really haven't erected walls that are high enough that you can't tear down an assumption and get them to think a bit differently. Once they hit high school, those walls start to become more and more prevalent. And so what's interesting is parents and teachers talk about how adolescence and that impulsiveness and that not knowing what they can and can't do can be very, can be a weakness, it can be dangerous. Anything about things like drug use and sex and things like that, and go, yeah, there are a lot of big adult things that they can do that are dangerous. And there are, and that's a problem with having a 12 or 13 or 14 year old mindset. But what we rarely talk about are the benefits of having a mindset that doesn't have a ton of walls set up yet. And one of the coolest things I loved about working with that team, and you say, well, Steven, you're working with advanced kids. I said, some of them were not initially. A number of them were kids that were pretty average at math, but they were excited to work on problem solving. And like, not just problem solving, like word problems like you saw in class, but problems that are just felt just enormous and way bigger than them. Problems that they had multiple ways to solve them. Problems that there's no roadmap for this. We were going, okay, here is something you know, and how do I get to something that I don't know? And in fact, there's a book called How to Solve It. It was written back in 1948 by a math educator, a pedagogue by the name of George Polya, P-O-L-Y-A, that talked about the whole idea of problem solving, going from something you know, figuring out what you don't, to where you want to be, and figuring out in the middle, what don't I know, and working on getting the pieces of what you don't know so that you can go from one to the next. And that's how I taught. It wasn't about teaching them how to solve an archetype of a problem. It was teaching them about the different tools they had in their toolbox and showing them different clever and useful ways of using these tools. And over time, the kids got better and better at that. Such that by the time they got done with eighth grade, they were tackling problems that were much harder than anything they saw on their ACT, SAT. There were kids that were constantly being placed years ahead in mathematics, where having a ninth grader placed in pre-calculus or calculus as a freshman, that's pretty phenomenal. And these weren't kids that were labeled as particularly gifted or talented, but what they learned how to think. And when you don't have all these assumptions telling you you can or can't do this or that, or this is the only way to do it, or you know, it's amazing what kids can figure out on their own. There were sometimes solutions. I said, I never looked at the problem that way. That's pretty cool. That's fun. It just blows your mind a little bit. But then I think about the conversations that I have with adults when they talk about their lives, when they talk about their money, when they talk about their problems. You know, one adult told me, they said, I can't save money because I come from a family that never saved money. We always lived paycheck to paycheck. I never imagined myself having more than what I needed that day or that week. My family always lived on the edge. I never thought about being debt-free. I don't even know what I would do with an emergency savings, but I feel like I should spend it. I feel like I should buy a bunch of things I have not had before, you know, because who knows if I'll ever have that much money again to do that. That's real and that's rough. You're going, well, you saved all that money and then it just disappeared. It's like, yeah, because you have this mindset that there's no way I could keep saving it. A lack of confidence that that will continue to be there, that might disappear if they don't do something with it. That's wild, right? And someone sits there and say, I asked them, we were going through a budget and I asked them, I said, you know, we can cut expenses, but I said, honestly, I think you need to make more money than what you're making. And they said to me, well, I'm a teacher. Teachers aren't supposed to make good money. I got into the job because I love kids and, I felt like there was some job security, but he goes, I'm not supposed to make a ton of money. That's not what teachers do. Now I'll tell you, several years ago, I used to teach privately ACT prep to kids and families. I would go home to home teaching that. I made well over $100 an hour teaching ACT prep because I was very good at it. And I had a number of strong results with other students. So I had quite a fair portfolio of it. You can make bank as a teacher. Maybe not perhaps in the classroom, but doing a bit of side work every week. Think about this. Imagine teaching 10 extra hours during your week, or maybe during the summer even just during the summer, and making a cool $1,000 a week off of 10 hours a week worth of work. For them, that was like, whoa, I can't do that. Well, why can't you do that? I don't think I deserve to earn that. How can I charge that much? Well, let's see, you have many teachers, they have a master's degree in their subject area. They may have previous experience working in test prep, but they don't go get some. They sit there and go, well, they didn't even consider that there could be a path where they could do some work and leverage that degree beyond their job. They go, well, we've got, I hear teachers bang the table. I've got a master's degree. I need to get paid more. I said, yes, I agree. But the likelihood that that's going to come from your school is probably low because of where the profession of education is currently and how it's being treated when it comes to negotiating salaries, depending on where you live. Although there are some private schools that are very competitive and do pay their teachers a lot. They do exist. You got to hunt them out. You might have to relocate. But the other half of that is, okay, so maybe your school doesn't provide that. Maybe your primary job doesn't do that. But that's where you're getting your health care and other things taken care of. And why don't you put in an extra 8 or 10 hours a week doing that type of work? And there's your extra. I mean, if you put in, 10 hours a week, even after taxes, you're making $700 extra a week. That's a 35 grand a year raise. Oh. Yeah. I mean, it exists. Now, again, I'm bringing up a situation like where the bottom line is that you've erected these walls. It's too complicated and difficult to learn. You're looking at maybe a new job or a career change. Some people are saying, I don't deserve to make more money. I don't really need to make more money. So the thing is, you've convinced yourself of these facts. But these are, in fact, walls, and they've limited you from earning your earning potential. I can't because I never have. I can't because no one else does. I can't because I'm too dumb. I can't because I'm unsophisticated. I can't because I don't deserve success. I can't because I don't deserve success. These are lies. When you choose to stop believing them, you can then start tearing down these walls. And when you start tearing down these walls and you get those walls torn down, you can start building up pillars. Pillars of truth. Pillars that support you. Your growth. Who you are. You build pillars that you can achieve greater financial health. You believe that you can achieve greater discipline in your lifestyle and spending. That you can kill the debt holding you back. That you can improve your income, that you can save for retirement and be savvy with your investments and build wealth and build a financial legacy that you, your family, your friends, your community, the people who come after you, can rely on. Now, this may sound incredibly Tony Robbins-esque, and I was, you know, as I was writing the episode here and I was talking with my business consultant about it, I sat there and I even made the comment. I said, you know, the hard part in saying all of this is that as I'm reading and writing the words, I'm going, boy, I've heard speeches like this before. The Joel Osteens of the world, the Tony Robbins of the world. Gab, 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 talk, 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 no action. I said, the big difference is that what we do here, you have to have concrete plans that go with it. It is not enough to just believe, oh, I can do these things now. Steven, I'm ready to go. False. Then you have to take action. Then you have to do things. I mean, I'll bring up, Briggs Financial did not exist 2 years ago. I mean, it just opened, actually, 2 years ago. But I think about this time 4 years ago, back in 2016, and I was still going through the certification process to even be a financial planner and have the ability to open a firm. 4 years ago, I was just getting started in this industry. And now I sit here and look at it, I'm going, boy, we service 80 plus households. We manage millions of dollars of people's assets. I produce a weekly podcast, monthly blogs, Facebook, Instagram posts all the time helping people out, every which way. Where did all that come from? No one handed it to me. I didn't buy a practice. It started because I looked at things and said, you know, even though I've never been in the financial services industry, I've never been a financial planner, I know I've struggled with money in the past, and I know I pulled myself out of those situations, and I remember how painful that was, and I know I can teach and coach. See, I'm now telling you the things I can do and the blocks that started to get put together. I said, okay, I can teach, I can coach, I know a lot more about money than I have in the past. I know I can help people out of this stuff because at that point, you know, even in 2016, I had helped some friends out. I went, so what do I need to do? What do I need to know? Where do I need to be in order to do this job? Which I think does something I love to do, which is teach. I love to coach. I've always been a coach. I've been a coach since I was like 12 years old. I love to coach. I love to teach. But what I did not want was to be back in an institution that could drive and control my financial future like what had happened in my previous role in a public school, in education, where I could literally be offed at a moment's notice. I did not want anyone to have that type of financial dominion over me and the family I wanted to build. So I said, okay, what do I have? What do I know? Let's just tear it all down and say, okay, these are the building blocks I have. Who do I want to be? I want to be a Vanguard and a champion. I don't want to work for Vanguard. I want to be a Vanguard and a champion of prudent financial planning. I want to give great financial advice to people. I want to guide people. I want to coach them. I want to help them build themselves up. That's what I want to do. Great. What pieces do I have? I have this skill, this skill, this skill. What skills do I need? Well, I need to pass the Series 7 and Series 66 financial regulatory exams so I can get in this business. So you know what I did? I bought a prep program. I got a ton of books. I spent 500 hours studying insurance, studying securities laws, studying all sorts of things that I had never had formal prep on prior to that point. And then I went to downtown Chicago, freaking 10 LaSalle downtown to the Prometric Center, and I took the tests. Between the two exams, 9 hours of exam time. About 400 questions, if I remember right. One of those tests, I had a 102.4 degree fever, the six-hour test. I fell asleep in, apparently, but I still passed. That's the thing, no walls. Like, I could have said, oh, I feel sick. I'm gonna go reschedule. I probably shouldn't have brought the plague to the event, but I'm like, no, this is the appointed hour. We're gonna go in there, feel like crap. I'll take the blue line down, I'll take the blue line back. I'll suffer, but I'm gonna pass. You don't hear me saying, I can't do this, I can't do, no, no more. There's no more of that. It's not that you can or can't, it's how are you going to do it? Who do I want to be? Followed very closely by, how do I get to who that person is? And you get those steps down and you start. And you work. And even when things get tough, even when things get in the way, and there will be hurdles, there will be challenges. I originally started my career at a firm, you know, in financial planning, working with a firm that really did not have a vested interest in being fiduciaries. They want to sell products, which is fine. That's a part of our industry. But I wanted to be a fiduciary fee-only financial planner. So I can either complain and do nothing, or I can join someone else's firm and probably not be thrilled with how they're running their business. Or I pause my business, I take 6 months, I suck it up, and I learn how to build a firm and do what we need to do this the way I believe I'm doing it the right way. And that's what happened at the end of 2017, which is how Briggs Financial started at the beginning of 2018, which is now at 2 years, and we've tripled the number of households, more than tripled the number of households from when we started. That's pretty sweet. But I can't doesn't fit into that plan whatsoever. I can does, and you can does, but you have to believe that. And you have to tear these walls down and take that middle school mentality of, I know some cool things, I have ability. How do I turn the blocks I have into the thing I want to be? And when there are gaps, you figure out how to bridge those gaps. If you're the teacher who, you know, says, hey, I can make $100 an hour being an expert ACT prep person, but I don't have background in ACT prep, then go work for someone for a while who does. Study it. Learn to be the expert. Learn to be that $100 an hour authority. Yeah, it takes work. Yeah, it takes, at times, extraordinary work. I'm not going to sit here and sell you this whole idea that if you want it, you'll be it. I ain't good enough. You have to be able to put in the sweat equity, the elbow grease, the time. And sometimes it takes longer than you think it should initially. And that's okay. But you keep fighting. And you attack. And you don't accept anything other than your best in going toward those goals. But it starts first by tearing down walls that say, I can't, I've never, I don't deserve it, it's too complicated. No, 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 no. Tear those walls down. You can. Who do you want to be? How do you get there? And that's where it begins. Now, if you're listening to this and going, I'm sick and tired of being in debt. I am sick and tired of not having a good retirement. I am sick and tired of not having a strong financial future here. And I want a coach to work with me and support me. Then you need to reach out today. Steven@BriggsWealth.com. Steven, at BriggsWealth.com. Let's have a free consultation. I will give you 45 minutes of my time. One thing I cannot buy, by the way. I will give you 45 minutes of my time. Let's have a conversation. Let me learn about what's going on in your world. And let's see if it makes sense to work together to make a difference. At a minimum, you're going to come out of there feeling like you have a better handle on what's next. And at maximum, we get started and working together toward that goal. On that note, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Money is Personal. Please make sure to check out this, I mean, obviously this because you're listening to it, but the other 59 episodes of Money is Personal on the Briggs Financial website at BriggsWealth.com. As well as, if you are an iTunes subscriber, it's on iTunes, it's on Google Play, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. You can also check out our blog, the Briggs blog, at BriggsWealth.com. There's a separate section for it. And of course, follow us on Facebook and Instagram for more financial tips and ideas and resources. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I appreciate you. Thank you again. And I'll come up with a fresh episode for you here next week. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas, and check out the firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making financial or investment decisions and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. Briggs Financial does not give tax, legal, or accounting advice. This information is not meant as financial or investment advice pertaining to your financial situation. The selection of appropriate investment or planning options and or strategies should be made on an individual basis after a consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.